The Holy Spirit equips. So what are your thoughts about spiritual gifts as tangible expressions of God's grace?
I hadn't really thought of it that way before, I don't think. So that's a kind of a cool twist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Holy Spirit came after the death of Jesus, right?
No.
No, like, I mean, like, the spiritual gifts thing. Or was that before?
The Holy Spirit was poured out.
Okay.
Is the better way to put that.
So, spiritual gifts became something that everyone could have, potentially?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a thing that was, like, something that anyone could have before then.
Well, that's not entirely true, because everyone had, I mean, the spiritual gifts were around.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. So if the spiritual gifts were around prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, how does that equate?
I'm thinking about it, because would the Gentiles have them?
Sure, why not? Tell me why they wouldn't.
Well, because you said it was like a gift of grace. And when I think about grace, I think about Jesus dying on the cross. And that saved truly everybody if they would just repent and see him. And the idea is that, like, that's grace for everyone. Is there, like, before then, did only the Jews have spiritual gifts? Or did the entire population of spiritual gifts? That's what I'm asking. Oh, is it playing something? I apologize.
Like, what in the world is going on?
Headphones.
So,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because, like, if you're going to say it's like a thing of God's grace, not everyone had God's grace before.
Well,
yeah, but grace is not gifts. But grace is a gift.
Yeah, but you said, like, it was a gift, the spiritual gift, like, is get like a gift of God's grace upon the person or whatever.
If you go back to Adam and Eve, when they sinned, God could have killed them right then. Mm-hmm. But he gave them grace and let them at least live. They just had to live outside of the garden.
But I don't think there's any record of spiritual gifts at that time, like, as a thing, because, take art as an example, that came way after Adam and Eve, like, cave paintings and all that, like, that really wasn't a thing, so, and I don't, I'm not saying.
You don't know that.
Maybe.
I mean, there's no evidence one way or another.
Because of the flood, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, thinking about it, like, there's nothing in the Bible saying that, I mean, Cain and Abel was gifted in things.
So what are the gifts of the Spirit?
Love, joy, peace, patience, and goodness, goodness.
That's the fruit of the Spirit.
Like you said, like healing, and then prophecy, and then worship, leadership. I don't know what else, but I really didn't see that till like the emergence of the Jews. Like, as a people, like, with Abraham and all that, so. And, yeah, it's just something to think about.
Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord, miracles, healing, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues.
It's just, I don't really see a lot of that in the Old Testament, other than, like, those that are, like, prophets and all that.
Okay, what about Proverbs? The Book of Wisdom.
Yeah, it's mostly prophets and, like, David and Solomon, or whatever, right?
Sure.
People that were chosen by God.
Okay, so
And then at that time, the Jews existed, and that's where all the Proverbs came from.
Right. So was the Holy Spirit only poured out on certain Jews at certain times?
That's what I would think.
That's actually what the Bible would suggest by how it's written. However, the question then becomes, do we have every written account of when the Holy Spirit was poured out on someone?
You probably don't.
I don't think they acknowledged the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament like in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But they did, though, because the Old Testament was written with, for instance, Moses, when he was writing about Genesis, or the Israelites that were in exile when they were writing about Joshua,
yeah,
and talking about the prophets that had come, that had the Spirit poured out on them, they referred to it as the God's Spirit,
yeah,
being poured out.
Yeah.
That was only at certain times.
Right.
With a spiritual gift, you have it. There's no, like, I mean, you could lose it, pretty sure. But once you get it, it's something that you have as a person. And it just isn't, like, a sporadic thing that only happens at certain times.
So you're saying once it comes, it can't go?
It can go.
Once it can go, I mean, what are you trying to get at?
Once it comes, it comes. Once it goes, it goes.
So doesn't it come on you when you need it?
Yeah, but not sporadically. If you always have it when you need it, that's not sporadic. That's a pattern.
Has there ever been times that your spiritual gift has not worked?
I don't know.
So, for instance.
Oh, yes. I've experienced
that just recently.
Yeah.
I have been praying for about a month, maybe a little longer, about what I was going to be preaching on in November.
Yeah.
Had nothing. Nothing came to mind.
And then you did prayer.
And then last night, I'm here at the church, and I'm just sitting in my office like, God, you know what tomorrow is, right? And then he showed this thing to me that I had done in the past. And I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. But it was one of those not yet moments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm supposed to be that guy that has discernment and can preach prophetically and have wisdom.
I don't think you preach prophetically. You preach more educationally.
Practically?
Practically, rationally.
Okay, well, I'll have to change that.
Okay.
So
I like it that way, though.
But what I mean by prophetically is, for instance, when I am putting together a message about prayer, we get to this point, and I don't look at these before I print them.
Mm-hmm.
I do this lesson along with you.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm hosting this. I'm not leading it.
Understood.
And it literally says this in here. In Acts 6, the apostles realized that they were taking time to meet certain practical needs of their faith community was keeping them from their
prayer
and Bible teaching they should be focused on. So the apostles chose 7 men who were full of the Holy Spirit to help in the practical work of serving the growing church community. What you all don't realize is I did not include that in my message this morning. Despite the fact that my notes suggested I put that into my message this morning.
Wow.
I removed it from my message. And I'm just now seeing it crop up right here, right now.
So was it really you that deleted it from the morning message? Or do you think it was God saving it for tonight?
I think it was God saving it for tonight. And also, I think it was because it is relevant because the word is relevant. However, it did not fit with the context. You know, it's like prayer, like I was just saying this morning, prayer is all over the Bible, and if I honestly had sat down and did all of the prayer scriptures, we'd be there all day. We were already there for a very long time.
You were there for a long time. Gosh.
You were there too, in here. for a long time.
With three babies.
You had fun. So.
I did have fun.
You did.
They were all very well behaved.
One of the seven was a man named Philip. Because he was full of the Holy Spirit, willing to serve his community and obedient to the nudges of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit greatly expanded Philip's ministry.
Good job, Philip.
We'll discover a man who was used by the Holy Spirit to spread the good news about Jesus all over the region. So, if I could get Abigail to read, and you have the Bible on your phone, right?
I do have the Bible on my phone.
Boom, but you boom, boom.
Bible. Okay.
It's going to be Acts
8. 26
to 35.
Acts 8. You tell me if my phone is changing the Bible. Okay, this is NIV, by the way. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah to the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
So we're commanded to share the good news with the whole world. Opportunities to fulfill the mission are all around us. The problem is we aren't always aware of them. Enter the Holy Spirit. Philip didn't know what the Ethiopian man was reading or thinking, but the Holy Spirit did. Philip's willingness to follow the Holy Spirit's nudge led to an incredible opportunity to share about Jesus. So what does this story show us about how the Holy Spirit leads us?
I don't really get what I read.
Well, you probably try.
I'm trying. Oh, literally an angel of the Lord told him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, go to the road. Go. And he didn't even tell him what road or who, why he was going to go south to the road.
Yep.
And then he was like, just go find someone. And he found this person who was literally like so important in the Ethiopian government, which is reading the book of Isaiah and had no idea what he was talking about. So Philip was like, hi, bro, I'm here to help explain it to you.
Have you ever had that moment happen to you where someone's just come up and like, I know what you're doing and I'm going to tell you about it?
Not really.
Well, he did.
Good job, Philip. I like
that. I don't know. I've had a lot of times where people have been praying for me or been prophesying over me or whatever it is. And it's just, I've never told them anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so incredibly relevant what they say. And I'm like, well, that was God. It's like one of those moments, like, when you're hearing a message and you're like, the preacher's reading my mail. You just know.
7 bills due next week.
That's not the kind of mail we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Your 7
the,
bills.
The pastor knows my tea. Oh. There you go.
I didn't need that.
He knows my tea.
I didn't.
But in reality, we were never told the tea.
He was telepathic. My
tea. No, that's the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
We don't do
the telepathy. Holy Spirit knew my tea. Gosh.
I had to use Gen Z, sorry.
Yep, that's okay. I was kind of like... I knew what you were doing, though.
Philip!
So how ready do you think you are to follow the Holy Spirit?
On a scale of 1 to 10, according to this question, sure. I would say a 6.752.
Very specific. Explain.
Well, 6%. 6 to 10. You know, like a 60%.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I'm pretty particular about what I do, a lot of my stuff. And I know truly that this is a really wrong person for me, but I tend to make decisions that go the other way most of the time.
Would that be
40% of the time.
So now we're down to 40%?
No, I meant 40% of the time I make the wrong decision. And then it's like a 6 out of 10. That's what I said. So it would be 60%. 7.752. Now that 0.7 is because, yeah, I have some aspects of my life which I'm like, I need God for this all the time. And then that 5.2 is just because I'm in public school.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to go 60%. So, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with this sometimes. I think I'd like to think that I'm ready all the time. But I'm very stuck in the mud sometimes. And I'm unchanging sometimes.
God is looking for willing vessels.
Right.
And
I want to be that.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm working on that.
Awesome.
So it's awesome. Just a matter of, it's one of those things like we were talking about prayer today. You know, who in the room is actually satisfied with their prayer life? I mean, honestly, I don't think there's any satisfaction that can be fully achieved until you're in the presence of God.
Exactly, yeah. Agreed. I think if we think that we're there, then we need to take another look.
I'm glad nobody said yes. That would have been a long day. So what do you think? Where are you at?
Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What's the actual question? On a scale of 1 to 10?
Sure.
How would you rate your level of readiness to follow? My level of readiness is like 100%, but I might be equipped. I might be in that type of readiness, but sometimes my own will will keep me from it. Like, you know, I really just want to go home and do this, or I want to go do this instead of do what the Holy Spirit is asking me to do or where it wants me to go. You know, so I've been one that's always been willing to step out of the normal to please God. Mm-hmm. I haven't always realized that that's what I was doing when I was young. I would do things and the other kids would just be... God has always led me to the underdog, the one that was being picked on or cast out, and I would support that person. And that, and doing that, I was losing being in with the cool crowd, so to speak. But I've always been willing to, you know, I don't care what they think. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, you know. So I think it's not me. For the most part, it's just something that he's enabled me with, you know. But my own will does step in the way sometimes.
For sure, yeah. We do. So this next portion of scripture talks about how the eunuch accepted Christ and was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we also have the wonderful moment where Philip disappears.
Where what?
Philip gets snatched away.
Oh, yeah.
And the eunuch never saw him again. Yep.
That sounds fun.
Yep. Holy Spirit Travel Service. It's kind of cool. I'm like, wow, I want that.
Yeah.
Lord, help me get home. Sweet. But how does learning that Philip wasn't a pastor make you feel about how the Holy Spirit worked through him? Do you see a difference between how the Holy Spirit speaks to church leaders and those in the congregation? I'll be honest with you, I've always thought that until I became a pastor. And yeah. Then I'm like, oh, well, that's just because they're better pastors than I am. See, it's always been this mentality, like, I'm less than. And I'm like, and God goes, no, you're just different.
You got a different plan for you.
You just do things differently.
You're not going to be the big mega church.
Right. You know, you never know.
Never.
God can do what he wants.
Uh-uh. We are not doing a mega church.
I will do whatever God tells me to do.
Heck no. No mega churches. I won't go.
God puts me in charge of the Oaks. You never know.
Well, God will use anybody, like I said, right. That's willing. Even if they are a hardcore sinner.
Right.
You know, that has rejected the Lord will still use them, you know.
Yeah.
When they least expect it. You know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes people do get that impression, though. Like, I have to be something. You know.
You are something.
You have to be you.
Right. You have to be yourself, but you have to be God's version of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're doing great.
Thanks.
What's up with that look?
I could be better.
Yeah, you could be better, but I think you're doing great.
So in your own life,
you're doing great too.
In your own life, have you felt the Holy Spirit speak to you to take immediate action? How did you respond? Oh, sorry, you didn't get a chance to answer the last one, did you?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Which one was it?
You didn't get a chance to answer the last
one.
What
was it about?
About, you know, Philip not being a pastor and being used by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, I don't think either one of us did.
That doesn't matter. You don't have to be a pastor to be used by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
Because anyone could be used by the Holy Spirit. That's the point of being a Christian.
Yeah, it's a circular argument. Why?
Because Christians are meant to go out and help people and help them become closer to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is one of those, I hate to say the word tool, but it's like a tool. They're like a tool to be able to do that. Because the Holy Spirit can give us confidence. And give
Did
us
you just diminish God to being a tool?
No, it's like, it's like a helper.
Yes.
A helper to help other people come to Christ. Sorry, God, for calling you a tool.
Or is it a helper to help you so that you can fulfill the Great Commission
That's
and
what
bring
I meant.
People to Christ?
That's what I meant. Helper to help you bring people to Christ.
But that is not what you said.
Well, I sometimes forget what I said.
But why?
But why did I forget what I said?
No, why?
Why does the Holy Spirit help us?
Yeah.
Because God created it for that.
The Holy Spirit is God.
The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. It's all around us.
Why?
Because God sent it and filled
Why?
Us with it. To give us Him on earth.
Why?
Because we need Him.
Why?
Because we'd be empty without Him.
Why?
Because we're sinful beings.
Why?
Because Adam and Eve sinned. Because when they were made, they were like, ham, fruit time. And became sinful. And we're unclean with the sin.
Why? I love this question.
Stop. Because sin is bad.
Why?
Because it brings us away from God.
Why?
Because God is pure and clean and made the laws, and the laws are made by God, and the God had made the laws, and it tells you what kinds of sins there are, and which ones you shouldn't be committing. because it makes the world a worse place.
Why?
Because sin makes everything bad.
Why?
Because look at the American government.
Why?
Because all of the crap and the sin and the stuff that's going on right now is just so bad, and you can tell because sin always makes things worse. And sin doesn't heal people, only not sin does. Don't say why. I will stab you.
You know there's still a why there.
I'll stab you with my pencil. I'm done with this.
Just say Jesus.
Jesus.
There you go. Sunday school answer, Jesus.
Ah. Okay.
Why? See, that's the thing. We have so many whys. We have so many questions. We have so many rabbit trails we could follow down.
Only you have that many rabbit trails we could follow
down. I think if you sat there and just went why constantly, we would never move.
You would make me insane.
I know.
I'd be like...
Instead, the Holy Spirit just says, go over there and do this thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But here's the problem. I think sometimes we all want to sit there and go, why? See how annoying that is?
Yes.
Yet we put God through it. Maybe it's not exactly the word why. Maybe it's, I don't want to. Or, ew, that person? Reminds me of Jonah.
Don't compare me to no Jonah.
I didn't compare you to anybody. I wasn't talking about you.
You
taking things personal, goodness.
Yeah, why?
In your own life, have you felt the Holy Spirit speak to you to take immediate action?
Yes.
And how did you respond?
When he called me to come to this church, I responded immediately, mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. And there's been other times, other examples I could come up with. I think I've shared with you the time that I was going to go somewhere and the Holy Spirit said not to. And I'm like, this was at a point when I wasn't real sure if it was God speaking to me or myself or whatever. And I was more like a baby Christian at the time.
Sure.
And I said, well, if this is really you, God, build my faith in you that this is you speaking to me. And when I go out there to start the car, let it not start. Mm-hmm. I went out there and... like you said this morning, when a prayer is actually answered, we sometimes are like in shock, you know? When that car didn't start, I was like, oh my gosh, you know?
Right.
And the truth of it having come from the Holy Spirit or from God, it just smacked me right in the face, you know? Okay, he did not want me to go do that, you know? Then I became worried that, okay, how am I going to get to work tomorrow if my car won't start? That was the lack of faith that in the morning it would, and it did. It worked just fine the next day. No reason why that car would not have worked that night.
If God can hold back the sun.
Yes, he can keep my car from...
If God can hold the world from turning and spinning, I'm pretty sure he can handle a car engine.
Exactly.
It's just, you read all these stories in the Bible. It's like all these amazing things that God has done. And I think a lot of us sit back and we see our lives and even the things that we've experienced God doing with us, through us, we're like, it's just not as good. Do you ever feel that way? Like you're less than?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll grow into it.
I never feel less than because I know God has a plan for me, and that's all that matters. I don't care what everyone else does. I just have to follow what he wants me to do.
You are awesome. Keep that.
Okay.
Don't let it go.
Okay. If I played the compare game, it'd be an endless cycle of torture.
Yeah, but we do play the comparison game, though.
With what?
You do it with art.
Oh, when I talk about cubism? Cubism sucks.
Yeah, well, people like it.
I know.
You also compared your art to the others at Nationals.
Yeah, because they only... Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
I kind of... When that happens, I just kind of calm myself down after, and I say this is not what God wants me to think about myself, because a lot of times it brings me down in a way, and then God will comfort me and say, you're not there yet. It's okay. Anyways, I went to Nationals.
I got
the highest rating. Why do I care if I didn't get first or second place? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You already got the first.
For me, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's the best you've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
It's the best that anyone in our church has ever done in the last 10 years at National Fine Arts.
When last time did they do it?
I don't know when the last time was they did it. I just picked a random number.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming they didn't go to Nationals in previous years, but you never know. We've been here for 5. You believe that?
Yeah, I can totally believe that. Because I'm graduating this year.
It's crazy. So, what is a spiritual gift that you've seen operating in your life?
Leadership and teaching.
Preaching.
Teaching.
No, me.
No, that's you. I was like, what?
Preaching, teaching.
Same.
Discernment. So, I speak in tongues, but I don't have the gift of tongues.
What does that mean?
So, I speak in tongues as it is my spiritual language between me and the Holy Spirit and the Lord, right? But I don't speak out in tongues.
Yeah, me either. I can't do it.
It's not weird. It's just not my gift.
Mm-hmm. It seems weird because it's done so frequently. Infrequently. Yeah.
See, I think back in my 20s, I think I actually had the gift of interpretation or a word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I was so scared to say anything, I never did. And I really think that God has taken that gift from me.
If you don't use it, it's not worth keeping.
Well, I think he took it from me because I wasn't using it.
Exactly. That's what I just said.
By choice and fear. So.
I think I maybe had that once too, but I didn't want to say anything.
Either that or I do it now and I don't think about it anymore. Maybe that's just because I'm older.
Yeah, we can tell. So old. I love you.
How's that foot tasting?
Pretty good, actually.
Ew. How about you, Marlena? What gifts of the Spirit have you experienced?
Teaching, healing. You mean experience that he's given me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Word of knowledge. I'm thinking. I'm sure there's more, but my brain doesn't always work right.
It's all right. So I think, see, the thing is I don't think that the spiritual gifts are ever gone. I think they can be taken for a season, or they can be taken forever, or they be given for a season and taken, or given forever. So
that's confusing.
What I mean by that is, for instance, if you look in Scripture, where, for instance, the Spirit came upon Gideon and empowered him to do what he did.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no other evidence that the Holy Spirit did anything else with Gideon after that.
Well, there was that willing vessel.
Right.
And that was just God working through him.
But do you receive gifts because you are a willing vessel? or because you are a willing vessel and God has use for you to have those gifts? Can those gifts be temporary for you? I'm not saying that they are gone completely, just saying, can they be temporary for you?
Oh, yes.
So, and I think, for instance, you know, if I ever became mute, I would lose my spiritual gift of teaching.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, I probably.
There's other ways.
Well, there's other ways to teach, but I'm trying to. I know we can equate. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
If you ever lost your ability to use your hands, you will lose your ability to speak like this.
And play piano.
Actually, play with your toes.
You.
Not too hard. Just make it.
Imagine explaining that to your students who have to play the piano after me.
Oh, yeah, guys. Piano player? Was it the toes?
Yeah.
Sorry.
But, and that's okay.
So what you're saying makes me think, are we thinking of them incorrectly that it's a gift for me? Oh, I got a gift. You know, like at Christmas time or birthday. It's not for us. It's no gift if we just keep it to ourselves.
Right.
We have to give it back. So, when we think of a gift, I think we're possibly thinking of gift as incorrectly.
So, it's a gift because it's freely given. That's the word we use.
But it's God working through us.
But it's God working through us because we are the vessels in which He uses.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But
He's practicing for when he becomes mute.
Yeah. So is she. But, for instance, let's say someone had the gift of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, God uses them for amazing, what are you doing?
Sorry, I tried to reference that hand.
God's using them for a healing ministry.
Uh-huh.
Then the gift is gone. It's taken.
There could be several reasons why that gift is no longer in place. Mm-hmm. It could be that person became not humble.
True.
You know, or.
But think of it like Job. Job had everything, every gift possible from God.
Mm-hmm.
Every protection possible from God. The devil even said, Job is never going to curse you because you're always protecting him, always taking care of him. But God pulled his blessing.
Testing him. The devil told him that he was
yeah. He pulled his blessing. But in that, while he didn't remove his presence, the gifts, the protection, the provision that Job had was gone. And so what that did is that brought everything back to zero, basically.
Yeah.
Where all you have is God. And God needs to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you've lost all of your gifts and talents and skills, everything that God has given you, your default needs to be that God is enough.
Yes. Exactly. That's good.
That is a good thing.
So. All right. Well, that's all we got. Anyone else have anything they want to talk about or say or anything? In
God,
regards to this?
God is good all the time.
Thank you, Abby. So, alrighty. Well, I'm going to stop the recording now.
Okay. Awesome.